Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 57, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, the earth and the fullness with which it is stored. The world and its dwellers belong to the Lord, for he on the seas its foundations has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 57. Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, in the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? And for ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, And when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we may read in thy word how thou wilt have all things to be done within thy church, when we may come together to be assembled around thy holy word. that all things be done decently and in order, and that we be given not to speak in an unknown tongue, but to prophesy, to teach, to instruct, that it may be edifying unto the congregation. Lord, then we need wisdom. We need understanding ourselves. We need such words of instruction to be given unto us, that we may speak them unto others. Because if we shall speak alone that which cometh of our own heart, then it is only foolishness and wretchedness that can come forth out of our lips. But Lord, it is thy holy house of prayer, and we are called not to bring our own word, but we are called to bring thy word. Oh, may thou give us then instruction by thy Holy Spirit in a double measure, that we may be endued with power from on high, and that that instruction may go forth in the midst of this our flock, that thou may also bless and sanctify it unto each and every one, that also those that may come in, that are unlearned, who know not thy truth, may be convinced of all, may be judged of all, may receive an arrow of conviction in the heart, to bring them indeed to worship thee. Lord, so we are called to do, to worship thee, and we cannot worship thee, because we are by nature dead in sins and in trespasses, and worship that is a spiritual act. It is a holy duty. Lord, then we must ask of thee everything that is required of us, because we can bring forth nothing that is required of us of ourselves. Lord, wilt thou then remember us? We are together again in thy house of prayer, that place where thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, and there am I in the midst of them. That place where thou hast promised to do miracles, the place where thou hast promised to bless thy word even unto the ends of the earth, where thou hast promised to show forth thy power, that we go forth with thy servants even unto the end of the world. Lord, may it be experienced in our midst, even in this day, that it may be the testimony of this one or of that one, that the Lord stopped me upon my way, that he spoke to say so far and no further, that he turned me about in that awful and sinful way in which my own heart would go. Lord, wilt thou take reasons out of thyself when we cannot find them in any one of us, and not young or old, but we lay before thee that blessed and all-atoning work of thine only begotten Son. Lord, he has accomplished everything. Oh, may thou receive it, and may thou look upon it even in this afternoon hour, that it may come before thy face, and that thou may look upon us in mercy, therefore, young and old together. Oh, build up thy Zion here below. Lord, do increase the number of them who have that true fear of God planted in their heart. Oh, that thou would seek them out while it is a day of grace. And wilt thou bring new ones into thy kingdom. Instruct also thy own church in that most holy faith, that they may be given to despair of themselves, wherewith men it is impossible but that they may be given to set their hope in God, with whom all things are possible, that is, even to take away the sin of the chiefest of the sinners. Wilt thou therefore give hope to those that are without hope, and expectation to those who fear to go lost forever and forever? Lord, remember our school, the teachers, and the principals, which has begun again in the week gone by. Lord, wilt thou bless the instruction to our dear children? Help each and every one of our teachers. O Lord, grant unto them that true and tender fear of thy holy name, when they must lead our dear children, when they must instruct them, oh, that it may become their greatest burden, that they are yet themselves without God in this world, and that it may lead them to beseech thee, or that it may lead them to storm thy throne of grace for themselves and for those who receive instruction by them. And may thou give that we may be kept upon the pathways of thy holy word, and that we may not be given to leave that which was given unto us by thee, even through the hands of our forefathers. Lord, wilt thou remember all those who cannot hear thy word in this world, to whom it has never come, that are taught only in the things of sense, and that are instructed by the prince of darkness. Lord, may thou give that thy word may go forth unto the ends of the world, that thy kingdom may be established in places where it has never been, and that thou may visit also those places where thy word has been and who have departed therefrom. Wilt thou look upon all those who are called to bring thy word? Increase their number, Lord. May it be in the season that lies before us, that there may yet be some who are converted and convinced and convicted by thee, that they also may be sent forth to preach thy everlasting law and gospel, that also some may not be able to stay away from the consistory and from the curatorium, and that thou would give that there may be students once again in our own theological school. Oh, give that it may be a burden resting upon the soul of thy children, and that they might storm thy throne of grace for the rising generation, that thy truth may not be lost. Lord, wilt thou preserve it in the midst of us as a congregation, but also as a denomination. Oh, then convert fathers and mothers, office bearers, elders and deacons and ministers. Oh, work amongst the young people and the children. That is our only hope, that we may not go the way of so many denominations in this world. Lord, wilt thou look upon those on the mission fields, and also our own mission field, where that place will also soon of thy servant be empty. Lord, may thou provide in that great need that shall be also in that place, as thou alone art able to do. And wilt thou look upon all that are persecuted for thy name's sake? Remember our nation, our governors, and those that make laws for us, and the judges of our land, and of all of the lands, the nations of this world. Be with those that are at war, those that fight upon the battlefields. Lord, protect them in the week to come once again and provide in the needs of this life. And give them to find a refuge in Thee for body and for soul. Lord, look Thou upon us all together. Look upon parents and children. Wilt Thou look upon husbands and wives? Put away the forces of the devil that do seek to destroy Thy institutions and preserve Thy truth in the doctrine and in the practice. Lord, help us to bring Thy word again in this afternoon hour. And when we are to speak concerning Thy second commandment of Thy holy law, Lord, wilt Thou bring it into our hearts, each and every one, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 356, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All who with heart confiding and depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. Like Zion's city bounded by guarding mountains broad, His people are surrounded forever by their God. The last collection today is for the denominational publication, Psalter 356, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, we live in an all-inclusive world, a world which wants to include everything, and not only everything that is temporal in this life, but also even those things which are not only moral, but immoral, that has to be accepted, and also every religion. The only ones who are not to be tolerated in this world are those who will not tolerate every religion, are those who will stand for one truth. And so we see Satan, as he is building his forces, that he may persecute that true church of God. There are so many that say that it does not really matter that we all serve the same God because we all have some form of religion. And whether we call him God or Allah or Nirvana as the Buddhists or just heaven as Confucius did, then it really doesn't matter. Because then we all serve in some way that a supreme being. Is that really so? Is it really so that it doesn't make any difference to that supreme being that man does not know who he is and that man worships him as a being who he is not? This we do not find in the Word of God. We wish to consider this together with you from the second commandment in this afternoon, which we wish to consider out of Lord's Day 35, questions 96 through 98. Lord's Day 35, questions 96 through 98, but first we will read the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Lord's Day 35, question 96. What doth God require in the second commandment? Answer, that we in no wise represent God by images, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. Question 96. Are images, then, not at all to be made? Answer, God neither can nor may be represented by any means. But as to creatures, though they may be represented, yet God forbids to make or have any resemblance of them, either in order to worship them or to serve God by them. Question 96. But may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the laity? Answer, No, for we must not pretend to be wiser than God, who will have his people taught not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of his word. So for our Lord's Day, God's command concerning the true worship of him. First, what is forbidden. Second, what is commanded. God's command concerning the true worship of him. What is forbidden, what is commanded. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. So the Lord has spoken, congregation, from the mount, from that Mount Sinai. And then what do we read? We read that the people, they exceedingly feared, and that they quaked when this mountain did tremble. But Paul writes that the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. So what does that mean? That means that when that law is given, when that law is read, when that law is coming to fallen man, that it is giving strength to sin in us. That is, that that wretched human fallen heart that is always hankering especially after those things which it knows are forbidden. The strength of sin is the law. And so we see in Israel, soon after that, that law has been given, then we see the children of Israel, they are dancing around that golden calf. In the first commandment, the Lord instructs us, as we heard last time, whom that we are to worship. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But in this second commandment, the Lord is instructing us how that we must worship him. Thus, it is not a matter of indifference to God, how that his worship shall be performed by his people. As the Lord is giving rules, as the Lord is giving direction in his word, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, as we have read together, how that we are to gather, how that we are to behave ourselves in the worship of him. What doth God require in the second commandment? That we in no wise represent God by images, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. We do not have to read so far in the scriptures to find transgression of the second commandment. And we can see that already, boys and girls, when we see Rachel, and she is sitting upon her camel. And what is she sitting upon? We read she is sitting upon the idols of her father. And thus, they were idols used by her father, but it was also something that was so dear to that heart of Rachel. We see the Egyptians bowing before their gods. We see Israel following the way of the Egyptians and dancing around this golden calf at Horeb. The congregation, why is it that the Lord did forbid this to Israel? Israel did not leave the service of the Lord when they bowed to this calf. It is not that Israel desired to have another God than the true God. No, but it was, and that they might worship that true God through these golden images, that there may be something, that they may behold with their eyes some kind of a representation that they would make of that true God. These be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. But what is God? We read in God's word that God is a spirit. Thus, how is it possible that we shall represent in a carnal way a spirit? How can we show something of his majesty? How can we show something of his greatness, of his glory? How can we represent upon the earth anything of his mercy, of his grace in some kind of a dumb image? To whom then will ye liken God? Every representation that is made of God in this world that is coming out of the heart of fallen mankind, and in every representation that we would make of him, then we reveal our ignorance, especially our ignorance of who that true God is. Every representation that can only be a degradation of his majesty, of his glory, of his great holiness, are then images not at all to be made. God neither can nor may be represented by any means since the fall. When we have lost spiritual life, what have we become? We have become carnal. And it is because of this carnality that is lying in our hearts that we have a desire that we may have something that is before us, some physical image. That is because we are not spiritual. But in a regeneration, then the Lord is giving spiritual life unto his church. And when you will ask the people of the Lord, then they will tell you, and that the Lord is striking in them an holy awe for God. Thus, without that life, then with Jeroboam we will set up the golden calves in Dan and in Bethel. And we think that we can worship God in that way of our own heart. But under the administration of that Holy Spirit of the Lord, and when that impression is struck in the heart of awe for that holy and that true God, then such worship of God that becomes detestable unto his people, then we learn to hate everything that will degrade him and his name, everything that will make him to be common or as man to be carnal. Then we hate that also which is casual in the worship of the Lord, as we see it going in such a way in the world that we are living, where there must be a casualness in the preaching, where there must be a casualness in the praying and in the singing. No, the Lord is holy. And then it is the desire of the church, as it is the desire of the Lord himself, that man would bow in holy reverence and awe before him. Our image is then not at all to be made. God neither can nor may be represented by any means, but As to creatures, though they may be represented, yet God forbids to make or to have any resemblance of them, either in order to worship them or to serve God by them. Thus, God does not forbid all imagery in this world. God has also given gifts unto men, that they may make sculptures, for example. And we have sometimes pictures and that are of one another. Sometimes then it is a nice thing that we may have a picture of a loved one whom we have lost and who was so dear unto us. And yet, congregation, how careful we need to be in those things, because we are worshipers of ourselves, and we are often braggers of our own children. We need to take great caution with those things. Did you ever see that picture that is drawn by the Lord, by His Spirit, that we can read in Romans 3, that shows a picture of what we are, does not show a picture of our external side, which can look so nice, that can be as a whited sepulcher, but it is showing a picture of that corrupt fountain and that wretched fountain that is lying in our hearts. Pictures also of the Lord Jesus Christ are forbidden. And why? Because it is a representation of God. But those who will not see Him as the divine being, those who see Him only as a great prophet, only as an example, then they are ready to make a picture of Him. But congregation, we know not what the Lord Jesus looked like, but His picture is also drawn for us. In that holy Word of God, no, not in an external, not in a carnal way, but there we may have a blessed picture of that Son of God, if we may only receive an eye to behold Him. We can read it in the Song of Solomon. How beautiful and how fair, and that bridegroom did appear unto her, who was black in herself, but may find that she may be comely in Him who was so altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000. But may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the laity? No, for we must not pretend to be wiser than God, who will have His people taught not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of His Word. Why is this question in our catechism? That is because of the practice of the Roman Catholic Church, which our fathers had to show the errors of. The Roman Catholic Church does use images, professing not to worship those images, but to use those images as books to the laity. That is, that they say, well, we help the people. When they may see something, then they may understand it somewhat better. For that reason, the Roman Catholic Church also is combining the first and the second commandments into one commandment and calling it the first one. And therefore, that they may still have 10, dividing the last commandment into two, which are so evidently one. But when they make this combination of the first and the second commandment, then they are virtually doing away with that second commandment in order that they may have images within their churches. You say, perhaps, what about the tabernacle? Because in the tabernacle, then there were also cherubims, were there not, young people, boys and girls? Cherubims. You say the church then had images. That is true. But those images were not books to the laity. Those images were not even seen. Those images were behind that curtain that in that most holy place. And those images at that time were also for a people who were given that tabernacle as a type in a day of shadows. And thus, the Lord commands them to make those images, and yet He has commanded them not to worship Him by way of images. Thus, we may not pretend our fathers say to be wiser than God. It was very evident when the Lord came down upon the mount and when He wished to destroy the children of Israel, for whom Moses interceded, that the Lord's anger had risen against them because of disobedience to this commandment. Thus, congregation, what the Lord forbids, but in our second thought, what the Lord commands concerning His worship. Thus, what is now our transgression? Because we do not bow down to images, do we, boys and girls? Say, that is not really for us, this commandment. And we are not transgressors of it. We have no images in the churches. And we have no images in our homes. So we do not worship the Lord in such a way. Thus, we are no transgressors of this second commandment. Is that really so? When the Lord forbids something, then the Lord is also commanding something. And we can read that the Lord Jesus has had a conversation with the Samaritan woman. And that woman was asking a question about the worship of the Lord, about the true worshipers of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus has given her an answer. And what has he said? That God is a spirit and God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Thus, the manner of the worship of the true God, that we are commanded to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thus, how do we stand now concerning the transgression of that second commandment? What is our religion when it is but mere form, when it is but mere custom, when it is but mere outward coming to the house of God and reading of His word and bowing our knees and praying? Then we are in great transgression of this second commandment. What does Paul say? That we are carnal, that we are sold under sin. And that in our flesh, man, that he does not comprehend, that he does not know the Spirit of God. That God that commands us to worship Him in truth and in our soul. Thus we see already what is necessary for us to worship God. What is that? That is through conversion. That when we are worshiping God outside of a true saving faith, that our worship is nothing but a transgression of His commandment, because we do not worship Him in spirit and in truth, then that fountain is wrong already. Then it is not just the Reformation that is able to give us to worship Him aright, but it is regeneration. It is only a renewal. It is only to be born again. Congregation, is it ever our sorrow? Is it ever our grief? Is it ever our burden that we come to that house of God? Here is that place that we are called to worship God. Did you ever see them worshiping Allah when they are lying prostrate on the ground? Oh, it is true that it is but a form, but congregation, what is now lying within our hearts? Oh, do you ever say, could I only break this heart, this stony heart that is lying within me, that I could weep one true tear over my sin against that true and that living God, that I could but bow before Him in truth, that I could worship Him truly as He created me to worship Him? That worship of God must be according to knowledge. That is not our own imagination, but it must be according to that true spiritual knowledge of faith. But then also in an outward way, that must be in accordance with His holy word. That is His revelation. And He has shown therein how we are to worship Him. Thus we ought to study that word of God. But why? Or not that we may show our great knowledge of the word of God unto others. No. That is nothing but pride and sin. But why ought we to study that word of God? Oh, that we might come to know that true God. That we might come to worship that true God. Oh, is that now the way that we take that word of God in our hands? Maybe you say, then I cannot understand so many things in that word. Oh, that may be so very true. But is there now a cry in our heart that says, Lord, give me to know Thee, who art the author of that word, who are the true and the living God? Give me to know Thee, give me to love Thee, give me to worship Thee. We are called to worship Him as our Creator. Thus, as Him who made us, that speaks about our purpose. Our purpose of our creation. That means that everything that we do, that is all to have one direction, that is all to be to His honor and to His glory, that is all to be to the building up of His kingdom, to worship Him as our Creator. We are called to worship Him according to every attribute which He shows to us in His holy word. Then we can read something of His great majesty. And what does that mean? when we must worship Him as that great and that majestic God. That means that we must learn to take our place, our rightful place. How can we worship Him when we come in pride before His face? Then the Lord will only cut us off and cast us from His presence. Boys and girls, how do you pray? Do you fold your hands? Do you close your eyes, young people? Do you slouch over in your prayer to that holy, to that majestic being who is your Creator? We must pray to Him as we can read in His Word that He is the just God. That is, that He is not able to pass by a single sin. That means how we must come to Him in that attitude of a guilty sinner, as one who has transgressed all the commandments of God, as one who has no rights to anything, and that must receive everything out of His hand because of His mercy and His grace and His good pleasure. We must worship Him as one who is holy. That means we ought to have an impression when we come before Him, how unholy that we are, how full of sin from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, and that we are not able to wash ourselves, that we have to stand so afar off from that holy being, that we have to cover our lip and to say, unclean, unclean. Do we worship Him, congregation, as the long-suffering God that He is? Or do we take for granted, when we attempt to worship Him, that He is so long-suffering? We can read that also in the Word of God. Where is the promise, they said, of His coming? Because since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Or is it then that that bosom sin that we are living in, is it then that the Lord will never punish that sin? Is it then that the Lord is not angry at that sin because the Lord still is long-suffering unto us? Do we take that for granted? No, then when we worship God, then it must not be as one who will not be faithful and true to His Word, that is going to punish, that is going to come in judgment for every sin that is not found washed in that blood of His dear Son. We must worship Him as we can read of Him in His Word. Who is He? He is also a God of mercy. Judas did not worship Him as such. No, because he despaired of all the mercy of God. But the Lord is not a land of outer darkness to His people. And He reveals Himself as gracious, as merciful. And therefore, then, that there may be a pleading at that throne of grace, even when we are so full of sin, we must worship Him as one that is omniscient, as one who sees and knows everything, not only our sin, but also the burden of our heart. How is that when we attempt to worship that living and that true God, that we may not try to hide, but that we may expose our whole life and all our inner being, and that we may come to Him and say, Lord, Thou knowest everything. That is to worship Him in spirit and in truth, but also as that God who is omnipotent, that has the power to answer, to deliver us from all our transgressions, to wash us and to cleanse us. When it is impossible with men, that it is still possible with God. Let us sing Psalter 241. 241 stanzas 1 and 5 through 7. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know Thy name. 1, 5 through 7 of 241.
Thank you.
Congregation, we have heard that true worship of God that must be in the first place in a spirit and in truth. But then there are also many things that we can read in the Word of God concerning the outward form of that worship. To the Hebrews, Paul says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Thus, it is not a matter of indifference to the Lord. Whether we attend the public worship services, then it is not the same thing. And then we will say that we will stay home and we will worship God in our own home. Then it is not the same thing when we will take our liberties to go here and there all over this world, places where there is no church, and that we say, well, that in this place or that place we take along a tape, we listen to a sermon, we read a sermon. No, it is understandable, congregation, when there are necessary reasons. But we take liberties in our days more and more, which ought not to be. No, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And we may hope that may also be lying in your heart, that you would never, boys and girls, young people, want to be missing from the house of the Lord. When you have the ability to be there, we can read that the Lord admonishes the minister of the church of Thyatira because that there was not sufficient discipline within that house of God. Thus, a consistory is not permitted, as we have heard some Lord's days ago, and just to permit everyone to go in their own way in this world. Nor are they permitted to allow those to preach who are not sent. The offices, they must be maintained. And then we may not tolerate within the churches they who say, thus saith the Lord, but who are not sent by Him. Then we are to watch over also for the abuse of the holy sacraments, the Lord's Supper, baptism. We can read in God's Word of the head covering for women. That is a symbol of subjection. And we read that we may not be contentious about this thing, then it is not for a woman, and that she should teach a man. But the Lord says that she is to be under subjection. And we know that that is not the place that the women's liberation movement of our day is assigning unto the woman. But congregation, their way is completely against that holy word of God. Nor is that a blessed place they seek for you, ladies, girls. We hope you do never seek such a place, but that you may read in the holy word of God that blessed place that the Lord has given for a woman. We can read, and we have read together, of the speaking in tongues, then the preaching, the teaching, or as we read it there, the prophesying, which means to teach and to instruct. That must not be in an unknown tongue, but that is to be to the understanding of the people, because the Lord is using means that He may bless and sanctify His word in our understanding, that it may enter also into our heart. Congregation, how is it then with this second commandment? Because there are many things as office bearers that we as a consistory may take home with us, when it concerns the worship of the Lord, over which they are overseers in that house of God, that they must watch that everything that is being done decently and in order. But then it is not only for us, but it is for each and every one. In congregation, we come here to worship God. Do we ever think about that? That we come here to worship God? Or is that the reason that we come? Because it is possible that we come for other reasons. It is possible that we come for social reasons, and that we may meet one another, that we may see one another. Does this second commandment then condemn us? Do we have grief? Do we have sorrow? Children, or even when you are young, do we have grief? Do we have sorrow that we are not able to worship God? Do you know what you must do? Then you must go to your home and you must say, Lord, I have heard out of thy word that I must worship thee in spirit and in truth, and I cannot do so. Lord, give to me a new heart. Oh, then you may present even your arguments in a holy way before the Lord, because then you may show even to him his own honor and his own glory. Oh, that it would be to his glory if the Lord would also convert you. Then you would begin to worship him in spirit and in truth here below, and that shall be just the beginning of an eternal worship. Or will you not ask the Lord? Will you not beseech the Lord that he will give you such a heart to worship him? Parents, what is our example in this? Because we read actually something special here in this second commandment. I am a jealous God, the Lord says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That he is visiting our children upon our sin. No, that does not mean that our children will die for the sin of their fathers. No. No, every man will die for his own sin. But when he is visiting our children for the sins of the fathers, and then he is allowing the children to go in the way of their fathers. And is that not the truth? Oh, when our worship of that true God, when that is just a mere form, when that is just a mere custom, then our children also can see and our children also can feel it. And then it will not be and ought not to be a surprise to us when our children also would go in such a way their whole life, and that they would be left to worship God in a mere form and a customary way. But we read something else, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. No, then he does not say that I will give a reward to you who keep my commandments. No, that is impossible, because those commandments, when they begun to be kept, they are kept only by a very small beginning. then every one of them is defiled with sin. But the Lord says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Oh, that when there is a desire, when there is a longing, when the heart is burdened by our own sin, that there is an attempt to train up our children in the way that they ought to go, that the Lord, that He is saying that He is showing mercy unto thousands of such that love Him and that are keeping His commandments, but from their side they are nothing but shortcoming. Oh, how many parents do not have to mourn because their children do not walk in that way that they have tried to train them up in. Oh, young people, we read in the Word of God, John says, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in the truth. Oh, may the Lord bind it, young people, upon your hearts, and that this is the truth, that you may find it to be the truth by your own experience, that you will desire all your life with all your heart to stay by that truth of that holy Word of God, which we have received from our forefathers, that you may lay before the Lord, that you may beseech Him to bind that truth also upon your heart. And oh, that the Lord may look upon us as a congregation, as families. Oh, in the heart that fear of the Lord must begin. And that is then shown and that is built up within a family. And that becomes evident then also in a people, in a gathering, in a congregation. Oh, congregation. May it become the burden of our heart that we are not able, young or old as we are, to worship God in spirit and in truth, and that we may prostrate ourselves before Him, and that we may seek to be washed and to be cleansed by that blood that is able to forgive all our iniquity, and to bring us into that blessed communion of that great lawgiver Himself. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, all with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. O, do cleanse and wash us. There is no man that can put his hand into his bosom and take it out clean concerning also this second commandment. Lord, we beseech Thee for this people. Oh, take this commandment and bind it upon our hearts. Oh, send us home with it, Lord. Give that it may become our work in the week to come, and that we may be bowed down under it, that there may come a place, a blessed place for Thy dear Son in our hearts. Lord, forgive our many sins. Go with us now in this week to come. Wilt Thou remember Thy servant, also in the sister congregation in this area, when he will be preaching in this evening, and also those who labor as elders to lead the congregations. Lord, wilt Thou give Thy Spirit in rich measure, and wilt Thou give us what we need to do our labors in the week to come. Help us therein and keep us from all sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 228, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant anointed by thy grace. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 228. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.